Greetings, fellow seekers, and welcome to The Global Entity, a blog, a movement, and now, finally, a podcast. Almost 2 years ago, I decided to uproot my life in Sweden to search for my purpose in life. Since then, I have been slow traveling Africa and sharing it through writing. I am Julia, your messy philosophical friend who believes that everyone has a purpose, and here I am searching for mine. By sharing my journey, I hope to ignite the spark of possibility within you, dear listener, because living through the heart isn't necessarily about dancing under the African sky. It's about embracing the wild, untamed beauty of your own existence. So hit that follow button and subscribe, because trust me, you won't want to miss a beat. Without further ado, let's dive into today's pose. Bedbugs and beyond. A stumbling new beginning in Mozambique. From crisis to comfort, a new hostel in Maputo. Due to an unforeseen bedbug crisis at the hostel, I have now moved to another. The only other hostel slash backpackers that exist in Maputo, to my knowledge. Do you remember the wrong hostel where the taxi dropped me off when I had just arrived in Maputo? When I was rude and projected all of my stress on the staff? Yep, that's the one. Apparently, Fatima's Backpackers is the only other hostel in all of Maputo. So I had to go back, tail between my legs, and ask for help. Even though a part of me was relieved to be able to do so, go back and apologize, I was nervous, almost like a child. When I arrived, I did my best to apologize with a few Portuguese words I picked up, but mostly I spoke Spanish. The staff looked at me, first confused. Then I could see how they started placing who I was and started to laugh. Somebody grabbed my shoulder and said, "Fica tranquila, relax," and waved it out of the world. Next came my other mission, getting them to give me a bed despite the risk of bedbugs I may or may not carry with me. Señor Agustinho, the manager, looked at me and my many suitcases and bags a long time before he sternly said, "Okay." But I would have to stay alone in a room for a few nights, and he demanded to disinfect the room for at least 3 days straight. With what exactly, I have no clue. I was just relieved. Here was a guy with a plan and a poison. In this specific context, I could not ask for more. I don't blame the first hostel for getting the bedbugs. It is part of hostel life, and I know for a fact the cleaning ladies there work tirelessly to keep it spotless and fresh. However, when this happened, the owner was away, and the present staff had no clue on how to handle it. I did not want my things mixed up with the things of the bedbug room, so I left before they had a chance to put them together. Local insights, a day with Lino in Maputo. My new hostel is colorful and quiet. Only a few other guests beside me are staying there currently. I mostly hang out with the hostel cat, Batik, who now follows me around even to the toilet. I'm not complaining though, he is super cute. My strength has returned and one day I can feel it. I am ready to meet Maputo. Not having done any research about the city, I am clueless of where to start. Lino, the receptionist slash bartender at the hostel, offers to take me on a tour of the city the next day. I feel relieved. I can't imagine a better way to discover a new place than alongside a local. We start bright and early, but Maputo is already running hot. We walk from Avenida Mao Zedong to Casa de Ferro, a three-story house built entirely out of iron. I can't even imagine how hot it becomes inside during summer. It must be like being in an oven. Most certainly a foreign idea from somebody without enough local knowledge of the climate here. Next, we make a stop at the Tunduru Botanical Gardens, Mozambique's biggest botanical garden. It is beautiful, albeit a little rundown. We walk around talking about life in Mozambique and the tourism industry post-pandemic. Suddenly, we are surrounded by something that are either moths or butterflies. I'm not entirely sure, but I feel like I'm in the middle of a Disney production. They are everywhere. And so is the sound that I can't really place. It's not birds, but something similar. As we continue our walk into the garden, the sound grows louder and louder until it's almost hard to talk. I look up and there they are, hundreds and hundreds of bats. Most of them are hanging from the trees, but some are flying around. The constant movement of the bats in the trees makes the trees look like something from a fantasy movie. I am both fascinated and horrified. Never have I been able to see so many of them. In broad daylight, too. To finish the tour, Lino takes me to Mercado do Povo, meaning the people's market. I love markets like this. It is filled with vendors, people, and smoke from the grills. In the middle, under a huge tree, are all of the food vendors. We eat some of the best frango asado, roasted chicken, that I have ever tasted. After the tour, I feel confident enough to find my way back to the hostel on my own. I say goodbye to my guide Lino, who has to commute back home and return again before his next night shift starts at the hostel. I don't understand how he finds the energy, but it seems to be the way most Mozambicans live, with several jobs under their belts. I can warmly recommend taking a city tour with Lino. Easiest way to contact him is through his Instagram or send me an email and I will help you connect you. Awkward backpacker relations. When I get back to the hostel, I am exhausted. I decide to do what I've been doing ever since I arrived at this hostel. Lie down on one of the rooftops and tan while listening to a book on BookBeat. Every day between 4 and 5 in the afternoon, I've been doing the same thing. The sun is still warm, but won't burn you silly. I know tanning is bad for the health, but right now it feels really, really good to my soul. This day in particular, I decide to let my boobs see some light too. There's not a soul beside me at the hostel, and the staff rarely comes up here, so I feel safe to do it without breaking any cultural norms. Not that I know what the norms on toplessness is here in Mozambique, but I assume it's less liberal than in Sweden where I grew up. An hour goes by and I'm deeply lost in the narrative of the book I'm listening to. Suddenly, I feel there's movement. I open my eyes and see a young man pass me by. We lock eyes just as he comes up the stairs, both equally startled by the other's presence. Or perhaps I'm the one who is startled by his presence. He is more likely startled by my nakedness that I quickly try to cover up. We mumble something to each other, and he goes to the other side of the rooftop with his back towards me. Ugh. How awkward. He seemed so uncomfortable, poor guy. I spent the next 2 days trying to avoid eye contact with him and his travel companion. They are both my age and seem to feel right at home at this hostel. Every evening, the older generation at the hostel gather around the table in an outside bar area, where they talk and laugh in Portuguese, chain-smoking cigarettes. The two young newcomers are always welcomed like family at the table, and fit right into this group, socializing and laughing. It looks nice. I decide then and there to get over my embarrassment and make an effort to introduce myself. I catch the girl first. It feels easier. Her name is Brenda, and she tells me that she and her friend Igor, the one I startled, has spent a year in Mozambique working for some Brazilian NGO. When Igor and I finally do talk, we both laugh about the naked incident. He tells me that he had tried to avoid me after so that I wouldn't feel uncomfortable thinking that he was creeping on me. Imagine that, a man understanding the many security dilemmas women go through and adapting to give me space and freedom. Who would have known? This is where everything changes for me. My isolation and recovery time is over. Maputo through the Brazilian's eyes. What happens next can most accurately be described as Brenda and Igor taking me by the hand and opening up all of Maputo right in front of me. They introduce me to everyone and anyone that they've made friends with during their year here. It feels wonderful. Maputo is beautiful by day, but absolutely vibrant by night. Everyone is gorgeous, kind, and inclusive. The first time we go out together, they take me to Prana, a restaurant with walls completely in orange and yellow. Next to Rua d'Arte. First, there's just a few of us, but eventually we're around 25 people. The Portuguese is flowing all around me, and I sit back and enjoy the vibe. I have enough of a hard time understanding Portuguese when I'm sober. With one cup of wine in my body, in combination with the loud environment, it is absolutely impossible. It doesn't matter though, I'm just happy to be here. I notice how everyone who comes in to join the group says hi to everyone and makes sure to introduce themselves to the newcomer, me. That never happens in Sweden when the group setting is so big. It takes me a while to realize that not everyone here knows each other that well either. Their way of interacting makes me think that they are all best of friends. I try to remember their names as they introduce themselves, but when the sixth person comes up with another, to me never heard before, Portuguese name, I give up.
I apologize when I realize I've asked the same person for their name 3 times. He just laughs and says, in time, you will know us all, letting me know that I am welcome here in this group. The next few days, I get to see what Maputo is really about. It is a whole lot bigger than the 4 walls of the hostel I've been hiding in. One day, Igor invites us to Mercado Peixe, a huge fish and shellfish market with loads of restaurants. We take the Chapa there, the equivalent of Durban's taxi system. Maputo's public transport is dependent on the hundreds and hundreds of worn-down minibuses driving around like crazy. It is my first time taking one here, and I'm very glad I'm not alone. Before I know it, the bus is so full I can't even see out of the window. The cobrador, the guy who charges the bus fare and sees who needs to come on and off, keeps pushing people onto the bus even though I think it will burst at any second. It must look ridiculous from the outside, loads of butts hanging out the window. When Igor lets me know it's our time to get off, almost the entire bus needs to get off in order to let us out. I stumble out on the street, and before I have collected myself, everyone is inside the bus again, driving off in a hurried speed. My group of people looks at my shocked expression, laugh, and say, Mozambique, while shrugging their shoulders. Before we even enter the market, Igor is bartering the price with a lady who wants us to eat at a specific vendor that she gets commission from. As soon as we enter the market, every vendor turns their attention towards us, yelling out their prices and offers. We are the only guests there, the energy is intense, and once again, I am so grateful to be here with people who know how it's done and how the system works. When we sit down at a table, everything calms down, but the procedure starts up again every time a new guest enters the market. There's so many vendors. I keep thinking if the market is always this empty or if it's the consequence of the pandemic. The prices at Mercado do Peixe are tourist prices, and the international and national tourism has not picked up yet to the extent it was before the pandemic. There is a lot of desperation every time a new possible client walks into the market. The food arrives after a good whole hour, but it was well worth the wait. It's a feast. Plate after plate comes out, overflowing with fish, shrimps, rice, fries, and the best thing of all, salad. After 3 months in South Africa, where you don't really have the custom of eating salad, arriving here in Mozambique, where salad comes with every meal, even breakfast, feels like a luxury. The rest of the afternoon we spend at the beach. All right, guys, that was it for today. As some of you know, this blogcast is part of a larger travel platform that specializes in festivals and social sustainable tourism. If you want to check it out and join our community and get the latest news, the link to theglobalentity.com is in the bio. There you can also find my email address. If you have something to say, something to share, or maybe give me a tip, send me a few lines and let me know what you think. If you enjoy this blogcast and want to support what I do, please give it a great rating on your podcast streaming platform. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Afear Podcasts, and anywhere really where you get your podcasts. Have a great week and don't forget to dance. Sound and tech production today was Tawanda Joseph Mutsena. Author and producer is me, Julia Cervantes Anderson. See you next time.